story of the Studebaker brothers. In the year 1852, South Bend, Indiana, was a sleepy little town with one schoolhouse, several blacksmith shops, and a general store. No one in South Bend became much excited when Clem Studebaker and his brother Henry set up two forges in an old frame building and entered the wagon building business. The third brother, John, spent most of his time working about the shop, but he was only 19 and had a youthful craving for adventure. Whenever a high-sided covered wagon wheeled along the dusty street, young John Studebaker ran to the doorway and watched it longingly.
Clem! Oh, Clem, come here! Look!
Yeah? Another one of those wagons bound to California. I bet you don't get as far as Missouri.
Yeah, I'd like to be traveling on her.
To California?
Uh-huh.
Aren't you satisfied here, John?
Well, yes, only...
Well, with a little practice, you could become one of the best wagon makers in Indiana.
Maybe so, but it's not nearly as exciting as digging for gold. If I could make some money in the gold fields, why, we could open up a larger shop.
That sounds like a wild idea to me.
Ma offered to let me have $65. She thinks it might be a good experience.
$65? Why, that wouldn't take you clear to California.
No, but I might build a wagon of my own and then trade it to somebody for passage. I guess nobody had cart me all the way to California in exchange for a wagon.
Well, it depends on how good the wagon is.
Those big prairie schooners are pretty hard to build. Oh, I doubt if even you could make one.
Say, I can build any kind of a wagon there is, and it'll be the doggondest best wagon you ever laid eyes on.
Clem, you mean you'll help me?
I didn't say so. But I might as well once you have your mind made up to anything. Well, Henry and I are going to be mighty sorry to see you go. We sort of figured on taking you into partnership with us.
Well, wait till I come back loaded down with gold, Clem. Well, I'm going to be rich, and the money won't come from building wagons.
And so, one of the first wagons to roll out of the Studebaker shop was a bulging, big-wheeled prairie schooner, a masterpiece of craftsmanship. Young John Studebaker had little trouble in trading this wagon to a prospective purchaser in exchange for his passage to the Pacific coast. But one night as the caravan was encamped on the bank of the Missouri River...
Here they are, men. Here they are. Three little shells, and right here is a pea. I put the pea under the first shell and move them. So, who'll wager $10 that he can locate the pea?
I'll bet you $10, mister. It's under the second shell.
The young man bets me $10 that it's under the second shell. Would you like to bet a little more?
Sure. I'll make it $30.
It's a bet. See? You lose.
I saw how you did it that time. Try it again. I'll bet $30 more.
Watch closely, young man. Watch closely.
It's under the third one.
Lift the shells yourself, son.
Yes. Oh. Well, gee, that's all the money I have.
Too bad, Studebaker. Maybe this will teach you not to gamble.
I reckon it will. From now on, I'll do a little investigating. Investigate what's under a shell. But $60 is a lot of money to pay for one lesson.
Months later, a caravan of travel-stained wagons bumps around a narrow, rugged mountain pass in the Sierras. Coming to the edge of a high precipice, the lead wagon suddenly jolts to a halt.
Hey, stop up there! You're liable to...
Gee, for a minute it looked like you were going plumb over the cliff.
This dad-blamed wagon, this makes the second wheel I've busted in 3 months.
I got an extra wheel in my wagon. You can use that.
Ah, there's no use, Studebaker. Look at that axle. Splintered to shavings. I can't go on.
Well, what's the matter? You can't stay here. All the rest of us are behind you. How are we going to get past?
I don't know.
Well, you could load your stuff in my wagon. In 2 more days, we'll reach Hangtown.
Your wagon ain't strong enough to hold the load.
Sure it is. Come on, man. Give us a hand here.
Just pile the stuff here, men, and I'll get the mules unhitched. I've had trouble ever since I started. Why don't they make these goddamn wagons strong enough?
You should have bought one for my brother Clem.
Well, we got her unloaded.
Now, how can we get her out of the way?
All right, give me a hand, men. Shove on the right side.
Hey, you're going to push her over the cliff?
Well, why not? All ready, boys? All right, heave! 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 There is a future in this business, if we make prairies.
Henry don't think so. He says he wasn't cut out to be a wagon maker. He wants to take up farming.
All right, then I'll buy out his interest. We'll build an addition onto the shop. We'll hire some more men.
Yeah, with what? Takes money.
Help me off with my coat, will you?
Sure.
I haven't been out of my clothes since I left California.
Yeah, they look it, too. Say, what you got there underneath the shirt?
Cut it with your knife, will you? I had to have it sewed on.
Oh. There. I got it. What? It's a money belt. Heavier than lead, too. What's in it?
Gold. $8,000 worth of gold nuggets.
What? Well, I'll be darned. You found a gold mine after all.
Nope. I never even tried to look for gold. I built wheelbarrows and wagons. And I found out that a good, steady job is the only real way to make money. Now, every cent of this is going into the Studebaker Company. From now on, Clem, we're expanding.
John Studebaker's gold started the firm on its way to fame and fortune, and before long, all Indiana was clamoring for Studebaker wagons. Slowly, under the level-headed guidance of Clem, the business branched east and west, building covered wagons, regal carriages, and dependable low-priced buggies. Then, during the Civil War, Studebaker sales diminished, for the factory was devoted to turning out fighting equipment for the government. In 1874, a great fire leveled the buildings to ashes. Overcoming hardship and catastrophe, the Studebaker brothers forged ahead, increasing their earnings to $16 million. But in 1897, an ominous cloud, a threat to the wagon industry, loomed over the horizon.
What do you think of the contraption, Clem?
Eh?
I say, what do you think of it?
I don't know. Runs, no doubt about that.
But will it ever take the place of a horse-drawn buggy?
All right, you can turn it off now.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I can't see why anyone would want to ride in a thing like that. It makes an infernal racket.
Well, I can't help but the men who thought it out. They're pioneers in a new field.
Yeah, it's discouraging. We spent our whole lives trying to build wagons that would satisfy the need of everyone. Now it looks as though all our work may have been wasted.
Not entirely.
Do you realize what'll happen if people take to this rattle box?
Yep. We'll have to build the blame things ourselves.
Are you serious, Clem?
Certainly. We've done a little pioneering in our time. We've helped shove the frontier clear out to the Pacific. We've made wagons that could cross the roughest trails or climb the highest mountains. Surely you wouldn't want to stop now.
Well, I don't like to jump into a thing at first sight. Investigate it a little more. Before I put money into this horseless carriage, I want to be certain of what makes it run. And I want to operate it myself. I never like to gamble.
Good principle, John. Always investigate.
Yeah. A man taught that to me on the banks of the Missouri River. A man with three walnut shells and a pea. It turned out to be a pretty valuable lesson, and it only cost me $60.
All right, John. Unhook that lid. We'll find out what makes the darn thing go.
In 1901, as the automobile was first gaining popularity, Clem Studebaker died at the age of 70. John Studebaker carried on his work until 1917, taking an active part in the reorganization of the company. All honor to the Studebaker brothers, philanthropists, pioneers, master craftsmen, captains of industry.